Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Lama. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. This is chapter 15 with 39 verses, translation and commentary. And also, this is number 16, part 16, in receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have letters from different places in the world. We're receiving letters from over 200 countries now. And our radio broadcast is all over the world. We just were rejected in San Francisco. They said my broadcasts are too controversial, meaning that the homosexuals in San Francisco would never go for my message because I'm trying to win their souls by telling them that they can repent from being homosexuals because homosexuals are going to go to hell. So this is just too controversial for them to receive the truth. That's because they hate the truth. And the Bible states that because of the fact that people hate the truth, the Word of God, that God sends them strong delusion to make them to believe a lie, that their souls might be damned, because the love of the truth of the Word of God is not in them. They don't love God's Word, they hate it. And so therefore, they hate their own souls. And they've deemed it that they are unworthy of receiving eternal life, immortal life. So the Word of God is too controversial for them, the true Word of God. Now, they'll listen to other pastors, preachers, and teachers. We saw Billy Graham and this Osteen on the Larry King show. They asked him, are homosexuals going to hell? And they said, we don't know. Well, then, what do they know? The Word of God says they are. They're, instead of saying, well, we don't condemn them, but the Word of God says that if they don't repent, they will go to hell and to the lake of fire. But they didn't say that. They said, we don't know. We can't tell. We just preach the love of God. We don't preach about condemnation for disbelieving God's word or being sinners. They don't say that the soul that sins shall surely die. They don't say that Jesus said, go and sin no more. They don't say that homosexuality is a sin. It's one of the most demanding sins, and in the first chapter of the book of Romans, it states that these people are worthy to be put to death. And we're not talking about the kind of death that we don't believe in carnal weapons or anything like that. We certainly don't believe in killing people or bombing them or anything like that. We believe in the death penalty, though, for those who commit murder. And that stands, according to God, for those that abort babies, because that's first-degree murder, murdering people that never did anything wrong at all in their lives. Murdering them before they're even born, innocent children, to the tune of probably more, I know for sure, 40 million of them, or was it 400 million of these babies? Yes, 400 million. Yeah, they've already murdered. That's the biggest Holocaust that has ever happened on the face of this earth. 400 million babies, senselessly and sinfully murdered by their mothers, if you want to call those people mothers, and people that are running these abortion murdering clinics. They call them clinics. And then also now, of course, this is something that happened in Nazi Germany. The same thing as this euthanasia, where they murder people, starve them to death, and dehydrate them to death. And they say that this is mercy killings. You know, the Pope is the one, the Vatican is the Bible says, is the head of the Antichrist cult. And one thing he said when he was so sick, he said, don't take me to the hospital. He knew he didn't want to take some of his own medicine. It was all right for Terry Schiavo to be starved to death and dehydrated to death, when she, in fact, was telling her loved ones that she wanted to live. And they just because of her husband, who is now the husband of somebody else, is saying, now I want her out of the way. I believe it was because there was an inheritance there for him. And we're just too controversial for San Francisco. Terrible. So instead of going on the air there, we'll just have to send our witnessing crews there all the more with my literature and just plaster the place with it. I won't even eat rice-a-roni any longer, the San Francisco dish, because it's probably made by homosexuals that have AIDS, and I don't want to catch AIDS. All right, so right now let's go to the throne of the Lord. This has probably offended people because I'd rather offend you here with the Word of God, the true Word of God, in a little pun, than to have you stand before the judgment bar of God and for God to tell you to depart into the lake of fire, pit of hell and the lake of fire, where the fire is never quenched. But some of you people are so obstinate. Some of you people have been sent strong delusions. Some of you people believe the lie of that you were born a homosexual, which is not true. It's a demon possession. And when you accept the Lord, you believe these things so much that you absolutely, because of the fact that you absolutely hate truth. All right, so the truth is, Lord God, we ask, Father, that you will, in your supernatural power, the same power of the Holy Spirit that created all things and the same power that holds the entire universe up, including this planet, Lord, by your word, we ask that you open the eyes of people's spirits and their spiritual ears to receive your word. And I know, Lord, that you despise anyone that is praying to you that isn't sincere with their prayer. Anyone that would just pray and not believe that you're hearing it is an abomination unto you. You hear and answer prayer. You said, call upon me, and I will hear you, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. All you nerds out there in the world, you don't have to be a nerd. Just call on the Lord to give you a brain in your head instead of just a walnut, and he will give you a brain, a spiritual brain, to where you can think the Word of God, and you can also have the power of God within you to be able to do all things in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors in his word, in Christ. Christ is the word. So you can do all things with the word of God if you have faith in it. But you're condemned, you're doomed into hell in the lake of fire, unquenchable fire, if you disbelieve. Lord, anoint with your outward anointing everything that is said in this tape, on this tape. Anoint your word, because without it, it brings forth death. Anoint your word, anoint everything on this tape, so that it brings forth life. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, and bind every devil on earth, bind everything, whichever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So, Lord, we ask that you bind satanic forces on this earth, even the devils that are speaking to the people that are hearing this broadcast. Bind those devils, Lord. Cast them away so that they can hear, that they no longer are, and that they can see that they're no longer in darkness, because those that are in darkness and those that lead them into darkness shall all fall into the pit. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with the first letter, please.
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. I pray this letter finds you blessed and prosperous in the victory that Jesus has provided.
Oh, don't you know those people in San Francisco would hate this, amen, to hear these people telling how they got saved and how they're blessed with these messages, the messages that they hate, messages that are intended to win their souls. How could we be your enemies when we're telling you the truth? Okay, then what else?
Thank you for your world newsletters and a copy of The Messiah. I am happy to know that you received the letter I sent to you. I am sending some pictures to you so you can observe our ministry work. My wife and I are distributing all your literature as it strongly teaches the Word of God everywhere by the Holy Spirit.
Boy, don't you know those people in San Francisco and all the demons on earth are just gnashing. Some of them don't have any teeth, but they're just gnashing their gums. Amen?
Amen.
Just tearing their hair out if they have any. All right, then what?
We are spreading the good news about him for the saving of souls that want to be saved. I am well pleased to inform you that each of the believers received spiritual strength and have known God's way of life and have been learning spiritual knowledge through your messages. Your newsletters have always inspired and changed many lives.
Well, that really, so if, you know, you homosexuals out there, lesbians, drug addicts, murderers, people that don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and those that hate people, people that love to murder and commit incest, these the Lord can deliver you as well from every sin. Doesn't make any difference what you've done in the past. He'll completely drown all your sins in the sea of his forgetfulness and not remember them against you anymore, and he'll fill you with his powerful spirit. He'll actually live in you and will work in you and through you. He will also dispense his word through you as he does me, and that way you'll be free from the condemnation of the law. You will not sin, you will not listen to Satan any longer, and you will not be part of the world, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You'll be consecrated by the Lord, to the Lord, and you'll be a very happy and joyous person from then on. You'll have eternal life in paradise if you continue on to the end. So receive the Lord through this broadcast in Jesus' name. Then what?
May the Holy Spirit continue to bless your ministry and your co-workers. I want to express my sincere thank you and my deep appreciation to Pastor Alamo. You are doing excellent gospel services. We will be praying for you as you supply these types of materials to needy people of Jesus Christ. And surely, O Lord, you will bless the righteous Pastor Alamo and grant him strength and guide your servant. I and my wife are distributing all that you are sending to me with a multitude of gospel women workers. Our primary purpose is to make God's simple plan of salvation known to others through distribution of your Christian literature. Could you please send your valuable literature and Bibles and audio and video cassette tapes of the messages by Pastor Alamo for the brothers and sisters in Christ here want to hear and see him so much through video cassettes? We have received many requests for Telugu Bibles during the distribution of the world newsletters. Indeed, I am very confident that these world newsletters and the Messiah, according to Bible prophecy, will be a spiritual help and blessing to our life. I thank God for you. God loves you, and so do we. We will be praying for you. Please continue to pray for us. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Quote, in all you're getting, get understanding. Unquote. Praise the Lord. May God reward you abundantly. Your brother in Jesus, K. Ebenezer, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, so make sure that these people, those of you in the mailing room, make sure that you keep them totally supplied with Bibles and literature and tapes. And here's some good news for those of you that are in radio land out there and in television land. What I'm doing now is we had the number one gospel television program for 10 years while Susie was alive. She passed away in April 8th, 1982. And so I stopped doing the television broadcast at that time. There was a lot of persecution after she died. I guess they felt that she was the strong one and I was so weak that they would be able to utterly destroy our work. But the reality of it was Susie was always the weak one, and she always wanted to be a housewife and stay home. But because of the fact that God purchased her, that he bought her, and she realized that she was a temple of the living God, she allowed God to have his way in her. And so even though she was sick with cancer for 17 years, she still would, I'd help her get dressed, and then I'd also read Bible scriptures to her. And I took care of most of the church duties and things like that. And I never did want to preach or teach or anything like that, because Susie could say so much more in just a few minutes than I could say in hours. So I just made her do that, and she said, "Tony, I'm so weak." And then finally, the Lord took her on. But what I'm doing now is taking those 10 years we were on every week, several times a week, I'm taking all those old videotapes and reducing them down to DVDs, and we'll also be able to send them to you. We are just in the process of doing that. It's a lot of the people that we've taken them to so far have thought that they might be so old that they will not be able to be converted, but recently there's a couple of places in the United States that stated that they could bake them in an oven for 2 days to take any mildew out of them or whatever. These were fantastic television programs with great preaching from my late wife, Susie. And there's good music on there and wonderful messages, and we'll be able to get them to you. I just want you to realize that I don't look the way that I did back then. That's going back a few years. That was back in the 70s, 80s, and 80s. And we wound up in 82 when she passed away. So that's been some 23, almost 24 years ago. So I put quite a bit of mileage on since then with all the different persecution that I've had and the church has had. The government, which is headed by Rome, and I think more and more people are being able to see that. They rejected that for years out of my telling them this. But they sent me for no reason at all, just for the gospel's sake, to prison and have arrested me and taken me into one court after the other. And I won all of them except a case with the Internal Revenue Service where they just stacked up false witnesses and everything. Well, I did 4 years there, but I won a lot of souls there, and I put out more gospel while I was in prison than I have out here. I doubt if I put out more than I am now. I learned a good lesson out there. I got to know the general public and how sinful people are today and the different sins that they're into, which are the same kind of sins that they were in during the time of the flood, during Noah's time. Nothing has changed. Everybody thinks they're so hip today by taking drugs and alcohol and committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality. All these things, these evil sins, have been around since day one, since the very beginning of time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, murder, you know, where Cain killed Abel. It's been around for years. But anyway, we'll be able to get those to you, Lord willing. Just pray that these tapes are going to be good. I'm going down tomorrow in the Los Angeles area to see if these any of these tapes can be spared. And if so, we'll be sending them your way upon your request, and they don't cost anything. All right, so let's continue on here. Where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I thank God Almighty for the work He is using you to do. I hope by His grace you are in good health. I am a student of one of the secondary schools in Ghana. Up until April 5th this year, I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. But thanks to one of your newsletters entitled Signs of the Times, I have now repented of all my sins. And after saying the prayer on the newsletter, I felt free, and I know that God has forgiven me of all my iniquities. Please, I would like you to help in prayers for me to grow spiritually. Please send me a Holy Bible and some of your newsletters, including your book entitled The Messiah. May God Almighty bless you and give you long life to continue with His work. Hoping to hear from you soon. Yours in Christ, from Letitia in Ghana, Africa.
So we can also send her or him. What is it, a him? What's her?
Letitia.
Letitia. So I assume that is a woman. Amen?
Amen.
We can send her a tape recorder and also the tapes if she wants to. If she doesn't have the finances to buy one for herself, we'll send her the tapes free of charge, however. Okay, and then what?
Then the next letter is from Kenya, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I have just returned from Kampala, Uganda, where I was holding a 2-day seminar. Thank you very much for the Messiah books, 20 Bibles, and the newsletters that we have received. God is using your great literature to bring many people into his kingdom. Please, I request you kindly send us as many Bibles as you can, and the Messiah books are great. We are continuing with the street ministry, distributing your literature, and many people are coming to the Lord every day. We are planting churches where there's no church, and people where they really need it.
We heard that this pastor, Olstein, is the largest growing church because he has a million followers, $1.5 million or something like that. We have a church, churches in Africa that have 500,000 people in them, or 1 million people, and 100,000 and so on, but we don't say that we have we're the largest church in the world. We just know that the true church of the in this world is the body of Christ, and we believe that it is the biggest, the largest, and the most real church in the world. The other churches are not real. You have to be a member of the body of Christ, and so there's no other church to compare us to the Lord. The Lord, there's only one body, and if you don't belong to that body, then you're not in the church. Now, you know, anybody that listens to Olstein and Billy Graham about they don't know whether homosexuals are going to hell, I would immediately walk out. I wouldn't go to that church because the Bible plainly states they will, if they don't repent, go to hell. All right? Now, I'm not against, because we're not jealous of any church, a true church, but we just don't like to mislead people. We don't like the way that people mislead them by saying, we don't know. Then if you don't know, then what are you out there preaching for? What are you teaching? You're teaching to be nice to people, to do this and that. These are all part of the gospel, but you have to also reprove and rebuke people, and you have to tell people the truth. Yes, homosexuals, murderers, all the people that sin, if they don't repent, are going to hell. Maybe this is why these television interviewers don't put me on anymore. They used to put me on all the time because their ratings would go up because of the fact that I am controversial. Their ratings would go sky high. They'd call me up from the biggest stations in the world and say, please, Tony, we want you on, because they're doing the Nielsen ratings next Friday or whatever. And, you know, if you're on, our Nielsen ratings are going to be great. We just got a big television board, or a telephone board, and they say that there's no way that they couldn't take all the calls. They could come in. So they told me to get on, and I did. And he says, why don't you get a little more controversial, Tony? And I said, like what? When they were on a commercial break. They says, well, you stated in one of your pieces of literature that the Pope was a homosexual. I said, yes, just like a lot of the clergy. And that people were so irate at that back then, but now it came out in the general news that is the truth. So, believe me, you hear it first here at the Alamo, all right? But, he says, say, you know, what you said in the text, that the Pope is a homosexual and he was a child molester in Krakow, Poland, when he used to go visiting the these daycare centers that were in factories. The people there would throw oily rags at him because their kids said that he was molesting them. I said, oh, you want me to say, no problem. So I said, so ask the question and I'll tell you the answer. Okay, so when the commercial was over, he asked me and he says, Tony, on the next commercial break, he said, the telephone company lied to me. This, you completely blew the sockets out. This was up in Boston, Massachusetts. He said, this board here could not hold all the calls. They said, if you got 500,000 calls in, it wouldn't blow the board. He says, you blew the board. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Now, it's no wonder that San Francisco doesn't want us on. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's so many homosexuals there. And not only there, but all in Los Angeles, everywhere. I met plenty of them. You know, when I was just in my talks, people sounding on you when I was in New York City and many different places. You see them all over the place. And they're bragging about it on radio and television today that they're homosexuals. But they're not going to be bragging for long, because the Lord's coming back to earth again real soon. And I'm not against them. I want them to be saved. How could I be their enemy if I'm telling them how to become Christians and get rid of that demon that is possessing them? Satan just want to let them go. That's one of the most demanding demons there is in the universe. Okay, then go ahead.
We are praying for you always. May God bless you and your ministry and keep you close to himself. Every blessing to you from Pastor Amos in Kenya, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Is there anything else yet?
No.
Okay, chapter 15, the book of Matthew. Let's start. Let's just go with the translation, because there might be so much commentary here that we'll run out of time, and I don't want to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus teaching about inner purity. Verse 1.
Right, you can't have devils in you. You must be pure before you can enter the pure kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not like this place. There's no, not going to be any sin there. It's a place where it's God's righteousness. You say, well, we're God. I hear all these false prophets saying, we're God's righteousness, right? Because we accepted him as our personal savior. No. They think just because they said the sinner's prayer that they're saved, yet they can still sin. But the word of God is Jesus. The Bible says the word of God is Jesus, and that the word of God says that there's nothing that's going to get in. There's no sin going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's so much to say about that that it's so frustrating that people just don't believe it the way it is. But go ahead, carry on.
Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to interrogate Jesus. Verse 2, quote, why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions, unquote, they demanded. Quote, they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat, unquote.
Well, the Lord is going to tell them because it isn't a commandment from God. It's just a tradition of men. And that's all. Then what else?
Verse 3, Jesus replied, quote, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? Verse 4, for instance, God says, quote, honor your father and mother, unquote, and, quote, anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death, unquote.
Yeah, we had just recently a boy in this church call their dad a jackass, that they didn't like him, and he's a godly man. And so he left the church. He's a young boy. He went over to his grandfather's house up in Denver, Colorado. Well, in the Old Testament, that boy would have been stoned to death. But the Lord promises that a person that does that will not have a long life. God will shorten their life. Okay? And I guess, you see, in the Old Testament, it was they shortened their life by stoning them to death. Okay, then what else?
Verse 5.
Oh, but we don't do that now. They just let him live with his grandfather. Hell in the lake of fire is going to be bad enough. All right? So there's no need tormenting people that are sinners on the face of this earth. The thing that we're supposed to do is just preach the gospel to them and live the gospel before them so that they can see that it's possible to live the gospel. Then what?
Verse 5. But you say, quote, you don't need to honor your parents by caring for their needs if you give the money to God instead, unquote. Verse 6, and so by your own tradition, you nullify the direct commandment of God.
Here some of the parents are poor and everything, and they're saying, well, you don't have to give anything to your parents. Give everything to God. In other words, them, the teachers of the law, and let your parents starve to death and don't pay their needs. They only gave you birth. They brought you into the world and took care of you all your life, and then you say, don't take care of your family now. Okay, that's violating God's commandments. You're supposed to But now, of course, Jesus also tells you that your mother and father are those that serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters. If your mother and father don't serve the Lord, well, of course, you're under no obligation. You're to feed them. You know, you can feed them if they're poor. Yeah, but you're under no obligation to, if they despise the gospel, to have anything to do with them, because Jesus said, who is my mother, who are my brethren, but those that serve the Lord? And when one of them said, Lord, let me go bury my dad, he says, let the dead bury their dead. Those that are not saved are dead in their sins and trespasses. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 7, you hypocrites! Exclamation mark. Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, verse 8, quote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Verse 9, their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings.
So you mean to say this is Jesus saying, you hypocrites? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Then he calls people, you brood of snakes, John the Baptist. And Jesus calls them vipers, snakes. You are of your father, the devil. And then I've had people say, how could you be a pastor saying that this person is of the devil and that Well, because I want to be like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Like John the Baptist. These are my role models. Amen?
Amen.
Your role models are the devils. You're nice to all these kind of people in a not nice way, because if you're telling people that they're all right and that they're not going to hell, you're not nice to them. You're leading them right into hell in the lake of fire. I'm nice to them by telling them, warning them of the wrath to come. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm telling people if I was a doctor and somebody comes to me and says, and I examine them and I see they got cancer, I say, hey, you're all right. Go home. You don't need treatment or anything like that. Is that loving them?
No.
Well, sin is a cancer, okay? And if I'm telling you that the sin is a cancer, it's eating you up and going to send your soul to hell and the lake of fire, and you're going to be horrified forever and ever and ever, then I'm a good person for doing that, according to God Almighty, who created you out of the dirt of the ground and blew his own breath in you. All right? Then what else?
Verse 10.
I have a friend. His name is David Rolnick. He had colon cancer. A couple doctors told him that, and he went to another doctor, and the doctor says, hey, David, you're fine. You don't need any operation. And what happened? About 3 months later, he died. Now, who was his friend? The two doctors that said, you have cancer, you need to be operated on right away or you're going to die, or the one that told him, you're fine. Who was his friends?
The two
that told him, well, I'm glad you know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're smart. And I hope you people out in radio land are that smart. Okay, so receive the treatment from the Lord. The Word of God will treat you, your soul, and make you every whit whole. All right, if you're sick and afflicted and you're not saved, then the Lord is not going to heal you. All the blessings, eternal life and healing, come to you when you accept the Lord's. Because when you're accepting the Lord, you're accepting immortality in heaven and healing and all prosperity and everything else. When you reject it, you're just rejecting your own eternal life and your own prosperity here on earth and eternal prosperity in heaven. Do you understand that?
Yes.
See? All right. Hope you people out there do as well. All right. Everybody say shaking their head yes here. All right. What else?
Verse 10. Then Jesus called to the crowds and said, quote, listen to what I say and try to understand. Verse 11. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. Unquote. Verse 12. Then the disciples came to him and asked, quote, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Unquote.
See, so Jesus was offensive too. He is very much too controversial for San Francisco, because all that I'm saying is what he said. Amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus is too controversial for San Francisco. The Word of God is too controversial for them and many other areas in the world. They just hate God. They don't want anything to do with Him, and that's to their own hurt, not mine. Right, then what else?
Verse 13.
Pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
Pray that they'll get saved. Then what else?
Jesus replied, quote, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up. Verse 14, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into the ditch. Unquote. Verse 15, when Peter asked Jesus, quote, explain what you mean when you said people aren't defiled by what they eat, unquote. Verse 16, quote, don't you understand, unquote, Jesus asked him. Verse 17, quote, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes out of the body. Verse 18, but evil words come from an evil heart and defiles a person who says them. Verse 19, from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Verse 20, these are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands could never defile you and make you unacceptable to God, unquote.
And what is sexual immorality? That's adultery, fornication without being married, homosexuality, lesbianism, and things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Incest. Okay, what else?
The faith of a Gentile woman. Verse 21. When Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, verse 22, the Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, quote, have mercy on me, O Lord, for my daughter has a demon in her, and it is severely tormenting her, unquote. Verse 23, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Quote, tell her to leave, unquote, they said. Quote, she is bothering us with all her begging, unquote. Verse 24, then he said to the woman, quote, I was sent only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, not the Gentiles, unquote. Verse 25, but she came and worshipped him and pleaded again, quote, Lord, help me, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 26, quote, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs, unquote, he said. Verse 27, quote, yes, Lord, unquote, she replied, quote, but even dogs are permitted to eat crumbs that fall beneath the master's table, unquote. Verse 28, quote, woman, unquote, Jesus said to her, quote, your faith is great, your request is granted, unquote.
And her... Everyone that doesn't believe in God, like the Gentiles, called Gentiles, and they're considered by God to be dogs. Okay, dogs are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then what?
And her daughter was instantly healed. Jesus heals many people. Verse 29. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. Verse 30. A vast crowd brought him the lame, blind, crippled, mute, and many others with physical difficulties, and they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. Verse 31, the crowd was amazed, exclamation mark. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking around, and those who had been blind could see again, exclamation mark. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus feeds 4,000. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, quote, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the road. Verse 33. The disciples replied, quote, and where would we get enough food out here in the wilderness for all of them to eat? Unquote. Verse 34. Jesus asked, quote, how many loaves of bread do you have? Unquote. They replied, quote, seven and a few small fish. Unquote. Verse 35. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. verse 36. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, broke them into pieces, and gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. Verse 37. They all ate until they were full, and when the scraps were picked up, there were 7 large baskets of food left over! Verse 38. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Verse 39. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan.
All right, that was the 39 verses translation, and now the commentary.
Chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Some people look down on Christians and criticize them for their dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ and our need to become more and more like him to the fullness of the stature of Christ. They will assume a self-righteous posture because they are fulfilling their own proper, what they think, quote, religious, unquote, obligations, while we are far from being a model religious type person. Jesus tells us the outward activities, the same as the hypocrites, that they traditionally do, the things that people in religion do, do not necessitate or correspond to the commandments of the Lord.
Now they look just so clean and neat, and then you all of a sudden see a John the Baptist or Elijah coming with camel hair, clothes, and long beard, and bald head, and just maybe have fleas all over them, and popping the head of grasshoppers off and eating them and drinking honey. And that's the last thing that people today would think. And Jesus with his long robe on and a beard and everything, they wouldn't even let them in churches today because the people in the churches are so gone. These churches are the great falling away. It seems as though there's a big revival going on, but it's not a revival. It's the actual great falling away, because what it is they're believing in false doctrine. And they're allowing Satan to just feed them this false doctrine, which means that Satan is sitting in the temple of God, and they're saying that he is God, that this false doctrine is, which is a word, which is not the word of God, it's the word of Satan, is God. But the word of God, the true word of God, the Bible, is God. And so they are the falling away, that they're sitting, letting Satan enter into their bodies after they have been saved. And then here comes the same devil that was cast out of them and takes 7 times more. And so they don't love the Word of God. They love this false doctrine. And because they don't love the Word of God, God sends them strong delusion to believe the lie that this is a big revival, and that the Lord is going to rapture them out of the great tribulations. And the Lord, when even the Lord says he's not coming back until immediately after the great tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
And these are where, you know, they're just saying so many false things that it's very hard to get, you know, to cover all the lies that they're telling. But we're just doing as fast as the Lord tells us. We're doing it, and it's taken years to just combat some of the things that they are saying that are so false. And you see these huge churches just packed out, and the Bible plainly tells that there are just little clusters of souls here and there all over the world that comprise the actual true church, the body of Christ. And so it doesn't make any difference how many people are in a congregation. If they're not soul winners, if they're not totally consecrated to the Lord, if they're concerned with the affairs of the world, they're not really saved at all. The Bible says that if they're not warring spiritually, spiritual warfare against Satan and sin and the world, if they haven't separated themselves from sin, Satan, and the world, then they're still under the law. And the Lord said that he purchased us from the condemnation of the law, that it's providing we get out of sin, Satan, and the world. He says, go and sin no more. For he that sinneth is of the devil. So a person that wars are legally according to the righteousness of the Lord, self not with the affairs of the world. And that's what most people are doing. They're saying, oh, God bless our fighting men over there. Why would you say God bless them when God plainly states that they're not to use carnal weapons, they're not to kill anybody, and they're defending our nation? What are you talking about? This war was caused for no reason at all. They're over there infringing on somebody else's place. They should be over there preaching the gospel to those people. But this, you know, I've brought these messages out in my other literature many times, so just refer to my literature and you'll see what I mean. Okay, then what else? And read the Bible and see what the Lord means. You'll see that we both agree very exactly to the letter, in the spirit as well. Then what?
We are to do all the right things. That means to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if we have a proud and selfish heart, we will be judged by the Lord as guilty. If we have accepted Jesus into our heart and are humbly growing in God to the fullness of Christ's stature, God is very pleased with us. No matter what others may say, don't worry about it. Chapter 15, verses 32 through 38. The feeding of the 4,000 is both similar to and different from the previous feeding of the 5,000. Chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. In both cases, Jesus cared about those in need. He took a small amount of food and fed a large number of people. He used the disciples to distribute the resources that came from his faith and his supernatural power that he has also given unto us. And much more was left over at the end of that day than they had even in the very beginning.
Than they had begun with. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Since the reason for concern was somewhat different, as were the location and the number of people fed, we see that Jesus tailored his resources to meet the various situations and needs. We are, by faith, able to count on God to show similar concern and unlimited power to support us in our growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
All right, now that was the commentary, and now we have part 16 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
For a victorious one, there is no need to fight. All he needs to do is to be situated in a certain place. Then all the robbers that provide prowling, looting, and so on will disappear. But we do have to fight here on earth, daring no more to act foolishly or do evil. His awe-inspiring reputation has been gained through much warfare in the past. This example explains the principle of Christ in dealing with the enemy. If neither Christ nor his name were in this universe today, imagine how much more violent Satan would be! Exclamation mark. It is simply because Christ is dealing with the enemy today that wherever the name of Christ is lifted up, the enemy flees and the power of darkness vanishes.
See what I mean about how much more Satan would be rebellious, but he uses human beings to do his work in them, just as the Lord Jesus Christ uses himself, his spirit, with the Father, in human beings to do his work. All right, so that was chapter 15 of Matthew, 39 verses, translation and commentary. And you've heard some letters in part 16 rather, of the Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. And tomorrow you'll be hearing, God willing, 6th Matthew, chapter 16, and part 17 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. Until tomorrow, God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Aloma saying God bless you and praise the Lord.